This is Market Insights, the Market Pulse podcast by Oanda.
I'm Johnny Hart, and you're listening to the Market Insights Market Pulse podcast. Let's join Trader Nick in the United States. Good afternoon from London, Nick. How are you?
I'm good, Johnny. Good to be back with you.
It's been a thoroughly busy last 24 hours with those central bank decisions in Japan, over here in the UK, and where you are in the USA. Where would you like to start today?
Yeah, Johnny, I think the big head turner, I guess, in markets would definitely be yesterday's Fed meeting. Of course, there were many, as you mentioned, things that have happened since then that have also been key events. But I do think that for the global currency exchange, commodities, everything seemed to have moved the most following the remarks from Powell. And I guess the easiest way to classify what we heard from Powell yesterday was a pretty decidedly hawkish cut. Which again is a little bit of an oxymoron at first glance, but really if we break it down, what he said is, long story short, we're cutting rates today. It was a close call, which also surprised markets. He mentioned that it was a close call to cut rates yesterday when everybody kind of thought it was a very easy call. And then he basically signaled that the Fed's own inflation projections have been off and that inflation has shown signs of being problematic in the United States. And that next year they're on watch. They continue to be data dependent, but this one sounded a little bit more preparing for next year. He actually even kind of was a loose cannon in some ways. He responded to the question about tariffs a little bit differently than the first time he was asked about U.S. tariffs. Last time he was asked about U.S. tariffs, he kind of dodged the question and said, you know, that's something we're going to wait to get more information on before we do anything. Yesterday, he pretty much signaled that they have people that are closely monitoring both that situation, geopolitical situations, and they're trying to be prepared for it. So it was a little bit more of an aggressive response to the tariff question. Basically, we're going to be prepared the best we can. We're going to look into this. And, you know, it's an interesting kind of pivot in the Fed narrative. I also just noticed personally that after watching the whole presentation and press conference after, the focus was squarely on inflation. Where in recent months, we've really been, hey, let's watch the data for the labor market, and then let's also watch the inflation data. Yesterday was really all about the inflation data seemed to be his focal point. And so that made the market very jittery. At one point yesterday, Johnny, the NASDAQ was down 4% on the day. And clearly, the dollar today, trading at 108.3, is hitting a fresh high as we record this podcast for the year. The dollar index has been a major beneficiary of all of this Fed hawkishness. But perhaps it's Fed hawkishness in the midst of a bunch of other central banks talking about rate cuts, right? I mean, not to mention, of course, what we saw from the Bank of England this morning.
Indeed. I mean, we have a hawkish tone here from the Bank of England regarding interest rates, a bit like the United States. Interest rates were held 4.75% after the bank voted to keep borrowing costs unchanged. What was interesting, perhaps, though, was an unexpected split between the members of the Monetary Policy Committee. Three of them wanted to cut rates to 4.5%. Now, that is most likely down to the fact that we had some very poor GDP figures earlier on the week. And so perhaps those three members are thinking about boosting growth. And the bank has admitted that the economy has performed worse than expected, with no growth at all between October and December. So rates are still expected to fall gradually next year. And they're now saying the first cut possibly coming in February rather than in January, or even, as some had said, perhaps it could have happened today. But after the inflation figures we saw yesterday, where there was a tick up in the inflation numbers, I thought, well, that's done. There's not going to be an interest rate cut this month ahead of next year. And we had some comments from Bank Governor Andrew Bailey. He says, quote unquote, "We think a gradual approach to future interest rate cuts remains right, but with a heightened uncertainty in the economy, we can't commit to when or by how much we'll cut rates in the coming year." So he's not really given a lot there, has he, in terms of what they believe might happen over the next 6 months or so. I mean, you've got your situation with tariffs in the United States. We have worries about growth, but at the same time, we've got wage inflation still beyond what it should be as far as the bank is concerned, and so on. It's interesting to see how the UK and the US compare with each other, they're actually following not that dissimilar a path at the moment, are they?
No, it's just actually interesting because there is some divergence in the data. On one hand, you know, we just had our GDP numbers actually this morning, which I know I'm jumping ahead to our next piece of information, but it is relevant to this conversation. When I look at, you know, what we saw this morning, final GDP numbers out of the US, 3.1% compared to forecasts of 2.8%. You know, that's a big jump. The point being here, US economic data continues to surprise. Unemployment claims were slightly lower than expected this morning. You know, we look at the full picture here, it is really a diverging one where we're back to kind of the Fed pushing the envelope for hawkishness. And you're seeing, like you said, the Bank of England kind of follow suit, trying to stay in the same direction. But again, those GDP growth differentials are pretty strong. So, you know, we'll have to see what happens with that.
It is interesting to see the different sort of hawkishness we're getting from both of the banks, though. You're hawkish. Because maybe they're concerned about too much growth and rising inflation. We also are concerned about inflation, but our growth is very low. So I don't quite understand how the two marry.
Yeah, no, it is challenging. I mean, in one regard, inflation is a tricky concept. It also is worth mentioning that if there's inflation in the US, that could carry over to other places. So that's why we do see central banks try to move as a herd. But again, it's a challenging one because US economic data is so clearly outperforming other places. And I think that's why we're seeing the currency market trade in the direction of thinking that the US economic outperformance will continue. We see the dollar so strong against its peers right now for that exact reason.
Okay, that's the US and the UK today and yesterday. We've also heard from the Bank of Japan today.
Yeah, and if we take a look just at the currency reaction to a lot of yen pairs, I mean, the dollar yen is up 1.9% today. That is a significant move higher, trading at 157.75. And it's not just US dollar. I mean, you look at the Australian dollar against the Japanese yen, look at the Canadian dollar against the Japanese yen, pound yen, pretty much everything is seeing strong outperformance compared to the Japanese yen, which is very, very weak today. The decision to not change interest rates is one side of it, but clearly some dovishness coming from the Bank of Japan, sniffed out here by the market. A little bit concerning. I mean, a lot of people were wondering if the Bank of Japan would talk about hiking rates, and it just does not seem to be the case right now. We see, again, Japanese yen weakening against pretty much every currency as we go into today. And again, I think that has also possibly been part of the reason why I've seen just a little bit of lift in risk assets. Perhaps that concern about rate hikes in Japan had markets on their back feet, but now that concern seems to be diminishing, at least for now, with the Bank of Japan.
And we'll be talking again tomorrow, Nick, but looking ahead to Friday, we're going to get the latest core PCE numbers from your part of the world. And again, that may have a bearing on what happens with the Fed over the next few weeks or so.
Yeah, and I think core PCE might be kind of our last key piece of data that we're going to get this year out of the US. You know, we've had our NFPs and our CPIs, and this PCE number is, of course, an important one, especially just following that Fed meeting with just such an emphasis on inflation. I know that the year-over-year forecast for PCE numbers from the Fed is about 2.89%. So maybe, you know, 2.9% is a possibility tomorrow. So we'll have to see what they come out with and how that could potentially move markets. You know, the market would be looking for cooler data in terms of inflation. And again, perhaps that would offset some of this dollar strength. But if there is a hot print there to follow that Fed meeting, it would not be surprising if the dollar continued to make its move higher.
Excellent. We'll talk again tomorrow, Nick. Thanks for joining us today.
Thanks, Johnny.
Market Insights, the Market Pulse podcast by Oanda.